what they do, you know, when they refine stuff, like refine precious metals, like gold and silver, you know, they're cleaning them and checking and the purity of them. You know, they want it to be pure. Pure, how pure is the gold? How pure is the silver? So, and that's one way to look at this. And, you know, when people make stuff, when people have a new product, they test the product, and they call their tested product, the one item of the product that they tried is called a proof. You know, like on the battlefield, the knights and stuff that wore the armor, they, back like at the later medieval days, there was, you know, guns, there was projectiles and stuff, and the armament needed to be proofed. You know, the knights wouldn't wear it if it hadn't been proven yet. But, you know, they had to be tested or proofed. And on Psalms 26:2, it says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart." We must walk in integrity because God sees and knows all things, and that we should keep us from trying to hide from Him. You know, God don't test us to see how strong we are, but to see how much we trust in Him. You know, I mean, how many? I'm naming the title of my message, "The Purpose of Going Through the Fire," and it's like a lot of times, me in my personal life, I've asked God, you know, why am I going through this? Why am I going through these hard times? You know, as young people, we're going to be tried a lot. You know, God's going to try us. Everybody's going to try us. To see how we prove, you know, to see how good we are, how pure we are. So, you know, like in Psalms 26:2, it's talking about, you know, examine me, prove me, try my mind and my heart. And He sees everything, and we need to be able to trust in Him. You know, the more we rely on the strength of ourselves, the more we falter in whatever we're trying to do. So, the more we trust in Him, the stronger our faith gets. Psalm 28:7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise Him." When we aren't getting anywhere, we need to let God step in and take over, and we will be where He wants us to be instead of where we think we should be. Because, you know, God's thoughts aren't ever as ours. We need to really rely on Him and trust in Him, and He'll give us the guidance to pass the test that we're going to go through, because the test will make us stronger and more pure. He tests us to show us where we stand. He don't test us so He knows where we stand, because He knows where everybody stands, where everybody's heart is, where everybody's mind is, what our abilities are. And I believe that He tests us just to let us stay in check, you know, for ourselves, to examine ourselves, you know. And that's kind of how I feel about that. God knows our hearts and our minds, but we don't always know those things that make us weak. So He shows us what things that we can improve on, and we learn to lean on Him, because we are nothing without Him. All effort is in vain if it's not through Christ. So that was what I have on, you know, God testing us, and it talked about "And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people." So this is my people. You know, Romans 8:9 tells us, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." And that's a passage we've probably all heard a lot of times. And, you know, we're a peculiar people. We're set apart. We're different. And we should respect that, value that, and hold that in our heart as a treasure, our peculiarness and our separate, our sanctification, whatever you want to put it. 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light." Godly living his how you know ways to be peculiar, godly living. You know, godly living is radically different from the way that we learn to live while in the world. It offends our fleshly sinful nature. Therefore, because godliness is unnatural to us, we must have the supernatural assistance of the Holy Ghost, because we can't do it without God's help. We have to have God's help. Everybody knows that God is the Holy Ghost. Godly living requires a radical change in our speech, our conduct, our thinking. So to do that, we must honor God in our speech and our conduct. We don't need to respond out of anger. We need to give time for righteousness to reflect on us. Because a lot of bad impulse thinking and comments are made out of just irrational thinking. I'm not trying to drill anybody. I'm talking to myself as well. There's a lot of times, you know, somebody may call me at some point in time, like, man, just fly off the handle with it. And when you really let that time to let the righteousness reflect, it really makes the outcome a lot better for everybody. It makes you feel better about yourself because you're not regretting anything that you said or done. And then you didn't hurt anybody in the meantime. And they're not hurting. Or anybody that was around that hurt. Because, you know, if you're talking to somebody and you offend somebody, or somebody offends you and you respond out of anger, you could accidentally offend people standing around, not just the person that you're talking to. You know, the other audience, the actual audience that's observing. But other than that, you can't respond out of anger. Let God fill your thoughts and avoid wickedness. You got to take in captivity every thought, because if you let your mind run wild, it's just going to get us in trouble. And it's easy for our minds to sit there and kind of ponder off and get sidetracked. We got to really watch it, because the battle is in our mind. More, you know, our spiritual warfare is in our mind and not the weapons and stuff. You need to honor your commitments and your word, even when it's costly to do so. And that's hard for everybody at times. I mean, when you get used to it, honoring your word. And I've always been a man of my word, but it's a good thing. It's always a good outcome. Not always easy, but it's necessary. God likes honesty and likes commitments. And you know, I mean, I hate to say it, but there's been a lot of honoring my word. There's been commitments I've made to God that I haven't been able to keep. But we need to try to honor everything we say to people and God. We need to speak and think and only in ways that you know please the Lord. Because God really, I mean, our mind is what we're thinking in our mind is kind of on our heart. We don't even have to speak it out, but we could really be deceitful in our thinking and thinking on the wrong track. Understand that righteousness actively rejects wrongdoing. You know, acting is always going to stand apart and be opposing the unrighteous. If you're around a bunch of bad people doing bad things and you're doing good things, they're you know, it's going to reject each other. It's like magnets pushing on each other. They don't want to be by each other. You know, I changed a lot in the last year and a half, and a lot of my friends don't want to be around me because my righteousness rejects the unrighteous. That I don't like not having as many friends, but I like having my church family a lot better than the friends that I have, because I can trust pretty much everybody here, and there ain't a lot of them that I can trust. So we must not conduct our lives as the world does. Don't participate in any questionable activities. I mean, if we're questioning it, like, man, should I really be doing this? Then there's something wrong. If any question comes up, because your instincts usually right. There's been a lot of times in my life where it's like, am I doing it? Should I be doing this, or should I not be doing this? And it's like, I kind of knew the answer pretty much every time, but I chose not to. It's really costing me in a lot of different ways. You know, it affects every choice that you make in some way, kind of affects your life. You gotta be sure to make the best decision. Good choices really make a huge difference on your future. We got to live distinctly different distinctly from the world as God's own people, understand that allowing evil to develop in your heart will result in disillusionment and bring unnecessary trouble into your life. And I've had a lot of mucho unnecessary trouble in my life for decision making and letting my mind ponder and not thinking like God wants me to, not acting like that. And just unnecessary trouble in our lives can really be a heartache and lead to a lot of problems. So he said that this is my people. Godly living people is how God wants to be. God's people is a devoted people. Leviticus 27 and 28 says, notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. We must devote ourselves. It's like critical. I mean, if we don't devote ourselves to God, we're not going to be successful in our proving. To be devoted, I mean, practice regular Bible study. You know, take delight in the scriptures and let them be your guide. Let them talk to you. Because that's how God's going to talk to you, is through scriptures. A lot of times, not every time. Most of the time, God usually talks to me through conviction and scriptures. So, you know, delight in the scriptures and let them be your guide. Seek the Lord as you start your day. It's always good to pray in the morning. Like, pretty much as soon as you wake up, it's good to hit your knees. That way you, like Brother Grissom says, you're starting the day out. You're starting your mind in the right track to think like God wants you to think and conduct yourself like God wants you to conduct yourself and what have you. You know, all the righteous ways. It usually starts by prayer in the morning. Wait on Him expectantly to speak to your heart and spirit. You know, a lot of times there's been some mornings when I have prayed in the morning, there's been mornings when I have prayed, and I've noticed that the mornings that I do pray, that God speaks to my heart throughout my day. I mean, I won't even really be thinking at the time of God. I'm just trying to speak to Him, just bring like a little part of a passage and some ideas and expressions and stuff in my mind, and it really helps out. Prioritize private and corporate worship. You need to make sure the time that you spend on private worship and public worship, you know, are spent wisely, where you don't put too much time to the other. Because if you're privately worshiping God a whole lot, which you shouldn't be, I mean, you don't want to take away from time that you could be ministering to somebody else and bringing them to God. Or letting God, you know, work through you to bring them in. You need to make time with God. Thank God daily that He has revealed Himself, His will and His promises to you in His Word. You need to make time with God and His people. You know, I love being around the church people. I usually hang out with everybody after church services. You know, I'm one of the last ones to go most of the time. And I take time to be around God's people and to seek God. Testify regularly to God's goodness in your life. Testifying is real important. You know, people need to know what God's done. Because just some of the stuff that we go through, the testing that we go through, will be encouragement to somebody else. Just, you know, hey, I'm going through that. I'm going through that too. And that guy knows how I feel and where I've been. So I think that really helps you connect and help, like in a whole, like a network of connections with God. You know, where two or more gathered, there I am in the midst. So I believe the more spiritually influenced people you have around, the closer you're going to get. So you need to testify regularly and choose to live a life of disciplined obedience as God, as God's servant. We're all God. We try to strive to be God's servant, and need to be obedient. And it's discipline, it's self-discipline. And a lot of the world does not have any discipline at all. It's just indulgence. just too much, way too much involved. So you got the precious metals and stuff, and they get proved, they get refined and stuff, and they get tested. After we've been tested and we pass our test, God will use us. The only reason to refine and test precious material is for the use of them, That's the only reason why they test them, is to put them to use. So after the proof testing that God puts us through, He will use us. Psalms 26, 6 and 7 says, I will wash my hands in innocence. So I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. And I think that's the use right there, is that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Because to tell of all your wondrous works, that's saying like good news, you can say the gospel. I mean, once again, it's telling us to tell everybody, spread the word. That's how God is going to use us, is to spread His word and get the message out. Some people, it takes a little time. God used Moses. It took Moses a long time before he was ready, but He used him when he was ready. God ain't really going to use us until we're ready. We might not even think we're ready, but He knows we are, or He don't use us, and He knows we're not. God used Paul when he was ready. Paul wasn't always a Christian, but when Paul was ready, God used him. So I think we all can be used when we're ready and when we pass.